Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the Stafford Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today's episode will take a deep dive into the recent delay in approval of JAK inhibitors by the FDA. The delay comes amid the FDA's ongoing review of topotecan, a first-in-class JAK inhibitor approved to treat arthritis. This review started in February of 2021, after the FDA issued a warning for heart-related problems and possible malignancies associated with the drug. Now the FDA has put a hold on approval of all other JAK inhibitors until the conclusion of the review. Some of the JAK inhibitors for dermatologic conditions on hold include baricitinib, abrocitinib, and upadacitinib. This episode will discuss the impact of the delay, as well as the benefits of JAK inhibitors for inflammatory skin diseases, and an outlook for the future of this drug class. Let's dive right in. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Mark Lebwohl, Dean for Clinical Therapeutics and Chairman Emeritus at the Kimberly and Eric J. Waldman Department of Dermatology at the Inca School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, New York, as well as a member of Dermatology Times' Editorial Advisory Board. Hey, listeners, Morgan here with an editor's note. At the time of this interview with Dr. Lebwohl, the FDA had issued no official ruling about the safety of JAK inhibitors. But as of September 1st, the FDA has ruled that it will be requiring warnings about increased risk of serious heart-related events, blood clots, cancer, and death for JAK inhibitors that treat inflammatory conditions. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to start off by asking, can you briefly explain what's going on with the FDA and JAK inhibitors currently?
The FDA has announced a number of delays three JAK inhibitors specifically that are up for approval for atopic dermatitis, upadacitinib, baricitinib, and abrocitinib. The data shows that they are actually more effective. Some of them are more effective than the biologic that's approved. They're certainly much safer than systemic steroids, which are approved for atopic dermatitis. I think what has to be kept in perspective is what we have is so limited for atopic dermatitis that, we're looking at drugs that are much safer than systemic steroids, which a lot of our colleagues still use. Cyclosporin, it's a commonly used therapy, has many more side effects than the JAK inhibitors. So I think the FDA is appropriately concerned, because if you look at the boxed warnings for these, they include thrombosis, risk of infection, risk of malignancy. But if you put it in perspective, those risks are a fraction of what they are with cyclosporin, for example. And certainly systemic steroids are, in terms of side effects, dramatically exceed anything that we'll get with JAK inhibitors or with cyclosporin for that matter. So I understand why the FDA put this delay in, hopefully the data they get will convince them that that these drugs should be approved. There are certainly a selection of patients who would benefit dramatically from the approval of these drugs. My colleagues are concerned about it. It makes them worry more about the side effects. All in all, I think when they're looked at closely, there will be a very large number of patients in whom the benefit-risk ratio is worth it. If you look at conditions like alopecia areata and vitiligo, we don't have good treatments for those conditions. We simply don't. And this is all that is out there. And, you're looking at conditions that have a high frequency of depression and suicide that dramatically affect the lives of patients in so many ways, and there's nothing for them. So the JAK inhibitors are the first glimmer of hope for those patients in a very long time. And I certainly hope that this doesn't delay approval for those conditions. In addition, you know, not included among the three that we discussed is deucravacitinib, which will be up for approval soon. And while it is a TYK2 inhibitor, which is considered a JAK inhibitor, it is so selective for TYK2 that it shows none of the side effects of the other JAK inhibitors. Now, admittedly, you don't know the full side effect profile until the drug is on the market for years and used in thousands of patients. But it'll be the, of the oral drugs available, it'll be the second new drug. In fact, I should say, I was about to say the second safest drug. Apremilast is very safe. It does have side effects of diarrhea, headache, weight loss. Deucravacitinib appears to have fewer side effects than apremilast even. But by what the way it works, there should be some caution used. However, in their pre-approval trials and their pivotal trials, they have shown no signs suggesting that we should be alarmed about malignancy or infection. Certainly thrombosis is a non-issue for deucravacitinib, and it is very selective. The other JAK inhibitors, certainly one like tofacitinib, which is on the market, block all the Janus kinases and TYK2. This molecule is created in such a way that it pretty much only blocks TYK2. So you'd expect it to be much more targeted and therefore have fewer side effects. And I hope that this will gain approval. It is certainly more effective than apremilast. It's much safer than cyclosporin and methotrexate. So of the other drugs we have out there, you know, this one would really help a lot of patients. The other diagnosis we're not mentioning is psoriatic arthritis. We still have a very big void in the treatment of psoriatic arthritis. Upadacitinib recently published their data on the treatment of psoriatic arthritis, and their ACR scores, which is a measure we use to determine severity of arthritis, were dramatically better than the current IL-17 and TNF blockers that are they're the gold standard today for psoriatic arthritis, and they're not good enough. Upadacitinib beat them. So I think we'll see similar good results from other JAK inhibitors as well. And I would hope that they'll come to market soon to help those patients.
So my next question I have for you is, how do JAK inhibitors differ from other small molecules for inflammatory skin diseases like psoriasis and atopic dermatitis?
So the small molecules that are used are broadly anti-inflammatory. And you could say that the JAK inhibitors are certainly more broadly anti-inflammatory than targeted biologics. And there's no question of that. But they, by working through the JAK-STAT pathway, they appear to have a pretty favorable side effect profile. They're much safer than methotrexate and cyclosporin, which are the two drugs we've used for a long time for these. Mycophenolate mofetil has been used as well. And again, you know, the JAK inhibitors are certainly less immunosuppressive and safer than that drug as well.
And what kind of impact is this delay in approval having on the inflammatory skin disease community?
Everyone is anxiously awaiting these drugs. We are gearing up for it. We're getting ready for it. I personally had promised patients, we're going to have something better for you because, you know, patients with psoriatic arthritis, alopecia areata, vitiligo are underserved badly right now. And even though the approval will be for atopic dermatitis, it will be, these drugs may be useful for that condition as well, those conditions as well. So our patients have been waiting patiently, and now we have to ask them to wait a little bit longer.
And my next question for you, what do you think will happen if these drugs aren't approved?
So I would be skeptical that would occur. I think, you know, the FDA, I will say the current FDA cares about patients. They've shown that in many ways. I think that they are holding it up because they're concerned about side effects, but I think that they have a realistic view and perspective on this, and I don't think that that they won't get approved. I think some of them may get approved and have boxed warnings that will warn our colleagues and patients, and those will have to be addressed. But in the end, if those are available and patients are suffering, and we can put them in perspective for patients, we'll have a lot of patients who actually accept these drugs.
And my last question I have for you, do you think physicians should be worried about these delays?
I think they should be concerned that there are delays at all because it's keeping the drugs from our patients. I think that they will worry, you know, why was it delayed? And they'll start raising questions. I think that, those questions will have to be answered right away. You know, one of the things we saw happen, even with biologics, which are quite targeted and safer, we saw that a survey of physicians actually showed that physicians tended to overemphasize the side effects and underappreciate the beneficial effects of biologics. And here we are years later after that survey was published. Biologics have taken over because they are very safe and effective. I do think the same will happen here.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.